remove the thoughts from our minds that we can truly focus and see you as we dive into your word. God, there are many burdens in the sanctuary. Lord, you know each and every heart and situation. God, you are the hope of all nations. Let us see you and feel you like we've never felt you before. We ask it in your holy and precious name.
And some truths that come out of it. So You can take a deep breath. We're not going to be reading five chapters. Now, I'm going to be giving you a lot of references, so if you want to go back and check it all out, you can do that. But we are going to focus on the start with Exodus chapter 8, verses 18 through 13. And I'm going to read that, and then we're going to get, I'm going to use Pastor Andrew's terminology, truth pieces. We're going to be pulling three truths out of this that we can see today to give us a hope and a future through Jesus Christ. Exodus chapter 8, verses 18 through 13. Says this. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh says to you, prove yourself by working a miracle, then you shall say to Aaron, take your staff and cast it down before Pharaoh that it may become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron cast down his staff before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh summoned the wise men and the sorcerers, and they, the magicians of Egypt, also did the same by their secret arts. For each man cast down his staff, and they become a serpent. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Still, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord had said. You see, I want you to see here, as we go through this, we're every single day, we're in a spiritual battle. Moses and Aaron was in a spiritual battle with Pharaoh. And I want you to see through this part that we've read here, that in the very midst of spiritual warfare, we see a very strong and stubborn display of our enemy. Think about it. God said do this, and the enemy duplicated it. God told Moses and Aaron to throw down the staff, and it would turn to a serpent. And they did it. I don't know about you, but if I'm there and I'm watching it and I see that happen, I'm probably backing up, taking a deep breath, saying, you got my attention now. But you see, the enemy says, you've got nothing on me. I can do that. And the magicians of Pharaoh did the exact same thing. They threw down their staff, and it became a serpent. See, Pharaoh's magicians tried to match God's step by step here. Throwing down our staffs and starting turning to serpents. But then if you look a little bit further, you can see it happen a few more times in some of the other plagues. In chapter 7, verses 20 and 22, you see that Moses raised his staff over all the water, and the water turned to blood. Then what happens? Pharaoh's magicians stood up and held their staff out. And the water they held it out over, it turned to blood. You see, our enemy is very strong. Our enemy will confuse us with his strength to control things that surround us, that impact us, that has impact on our life every day. And then we see in chapter 8 another plague where Moses and Aaron stretched out the staff and frogs appeared. What happened? Pharaoh and his magicians did the same thing. Held out the staff, and frogs appeared. I don't know, but the people on the outside that's watching everything are probably very confused going, is it God or is it Pharaoh? What do I believe? What do I trust? But understanding that our enemy is extremely strong and powerful. Pharaoh's magicians were able to match all the way through here. See, the enemy is strong. What we face every single day, what Satan throws in our path can be very strong and intimidating. But also notice the enemy is very stubborn. Even through all of this, Pharaoh still had a hard heart. He would not give in and let God's people go. He wouldn't do it. He was extremely stubborn. I tell you, when Satan is attacking us, he's coming after us full force, he's stubborn. Just because we say, woe is me, I can't handle it, what do I do? Don't mean he's going to back off. that's when he jumps on even harder and stronger. You see, the enemy is very stubborn and doesn't give up. Doesn't give up. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. That is what we as believers face every single day. Satan wants to do whatever he can to ruin your testimony, to make your life miserable, to not have the peace and joy that comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. He wants to do that. And many times in the middle of this, in the middle of the spiritual warfare, we turn to many answers apart from God himself. Why do you think self-help books are some of your biggest sellers? We think we can fix things ourselves. We think that we've got the answers within us. Or we turn to things to fill the void or the pain that we're facing because Satan is constantly attacking us and coming after us. Sometimes we turn to alcohol or drugs or relationships that are improper and immoral. We turn to those things. And here's the sad part about it. When we turn to those things, next thing you know, we're addicted to those things. And have you ever noticed that Satan attacks us where we're the weakest? You know? He attacks us where he knows we're vulnerable. And then he comes out. He's stubborn. He's not going to give up. But know this, whatever the battle or the temptation that we think we have the answer to, the one true answer is in the gospel. Amen. Our enemy is strong. Our enemy will not give up. He's very stubborn. And as someone that has given their heart to Jesus Christ, we must be aware that we are always in the very crosshairs of our enemy. Because he wants nothing more to do than impact God's kingdom, and he does that by impacting God's people. Satan is always out seeking to destroy and devour. He seeks those that are part of God's family. He's strong and he's stubborn. Then if we look a little bit further, truth piece number two. In the midst of spiritual warfare, God uses the strength of the enemy to display his strength in love. When Satan does something that is attacking us and is beating us down, God can do something greater. You see, in the middle of this, Aaron held out the staff. It turned to a serpent. The magician held out a staff. It turned to a serpent. Showing his strength to match God step by step. But God showed off. You know what happened? Aaron's staff turned to a serpent, devoured the magicians. In the middle of spiritual warfare, the showing of the enemy's strength, God will display his power and love. You see, when the frogs come out, God was able to reverse the plague. Turned it around. The magicians had no idea what to do with that. God just showed out. And after all that, an incredible passage here, verses 18-9, said that Pharaoh's magicians at that point recognize the very power of God over anything they could do. Each plague showed God's power and control over all things. And one of the, I don't know if you studied much of back in the Egyptian thing, one of their god, their biggest god that they worshiped was the sun god. Because they felt that the sun was where life come from. And if you notice, plague number 9, God just showed he was in control over that. When he said darkness to block out the sun. Darkness over light. Over what they valued the most apart from God. God just showed he had control. God was displaying his power over everything at that time because of his love, care, and faithfulness to his people, because he had promised to deliver them from bondage into freedom. That is why he's doing all of this. Many times throughout history, God has shown his greatest power in the midst of the most difficult times. Look at church history. The church has grown the greatest in the midst of tremendous persecution throughout its history. When times were the bad, the worst, God did the greatest work. The greatest example of God's display of power and love is the gospel itself. For you see, Satan thought he had control of it all because of death. Because of death, he thought he had control of all things of God. He thought he had defeated God himself when Jesus died. But God used life with the resurrection to defeat Satan, to defeat death. God used Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection to show his love, forgiveness of sin, deliverance from the bondage of sin, freedom in Jesus, and hope for a future. And it was culminated in the gift of life of the resurrection. For without the resurrection, there's no hope. Amen. That is where God showed his greatest love and greatest power. And then, last thing I want you to see, is that in the midst of spiritual warfare, we must choose who we will trust and follow. The choice is up to us. It is up to you. I know that growing up, my grandmother was a big part of getting me in church. But you know, she could never make a decision for me to accept Christ. She may have done her part of getting me in the door, may have bribed me with candy and everything else, you know, but she didn't make that decision for me. No one can make that decision for you but you. I know that as children, there's a lot of things that go on with parents in a way of dedicating their children. But you know, dedicating your child to the Lord does not make a decision for them. Being baptized as an infant does not make a decision for them. It's a personal decision that we all must make as to who we will trust and follow. Chapter 11, I kind of call it the "it's time to choose" chapter. The final plague was that of death for the firstborn. And as it got to that, understanding that many people had been watching and seeing all of these plagues and the strength of God showing and showing his power over all things. And it come a time here that all the people that had been watching this had to make a choice of who they were going to choose to follow and trust. Not just the descendants of Abraham, but of everybody had to make that choice. It demands a decision. When God shows up in our life, when God reveals himself to us, it is now decision time to decide who are we going to trust and who are we going to follow. Because God has shown his great power, many Egyptians and God's people had witnessed so much going on here. They had to choose. In chapter 11, verse 8, it said that many came and bowed. But even through it, the enemy still was defiant, because it said Pharaoh continued to harden his heart. The enemy was still fighting tooth and nail. In an incredible part, I know that we're not going fully into chapter 12, but I want you to notice chapter 12. It indicates this, that there were many, in verse 38, that believed because of what all they had seen. Many. And this is more than Abraham's descendants that were believing. For it says in verse 38 that it was a mixed multitude that were believing after seeing God do incredible, incredible things. So the choice is this. Who are we going to trust? Who are we going to follow in the middle of our spiritual battles, in the middle of our spiritual warfare? Are we going to turn to God that has given us everything we need to succeed in life to please him? Or are we going to try to do it on our own? I know that after a few years of student ministry, that many times it takes watching, it takes hitting rock bottom before people realize, I give up. I'm going to trust and follow Christ. But you see, we all come to that point. We have to do that. I've asked a couple people to come help me do something. If they'll make their way up here to come help me. See, there's a choice that we have to make. It's rather the choice is who we're going to follow and who we're going to love. It's a choice between God and our enemy. It's a choice between our relationship with Jesus Christ or the world that for a time may put a smile on our face. But it'll pass. You know there's a reason that they don't show the end result of alcoholism in beer commercials? For a smile, it may, things of the world put a smile on our face, but it'll pass. So it's a choice between God and our enemy, God and the world, right and wrong, righteousness, or what's wrong. It's like this. I put these two things down here. It's like the right is pulling me. God, I know what I should do. I know what God has for me. Don't hurt me. I know. You know what? I've got this book that tells me how I should be living every day. And I know. But there's something about me that pulls against it sometimes. Because you know what? The enemy is strong. The enemy don't give up. The enemy is pulling me a different direction. And it's strong. And it gets me. But here's what we do. You notice, I got these two marks. I'm kind of like, how close can I get to this? I'm doing pretty good. I haven't stepped over the line. But here's what I want you to understand. It's not like this. When we're with Christ, we know what we should be doing. It's like this. It's not how close can I get to the line and not be wrong. It is where am I going to jump full feet, both feet, to do what God has called me to do. Mm-hmm. You see, the enemy is strong. If they were, they probably would have snapped me like a chicken wing. But you know, and I'm not saying they won't eat, both of them are good. It was just an illustration. So, you see, sometimes when we're in that battle, that spiritual battle, we want to see how close we can get to the things of the world without going over. We're all guilty of that. When it's not a little space that we go back and forth, it's where do we plant our life every day? Yeah. You see, God has given us a way to win the spiritual battle every day. And it's called putting on the armor of God. You probably have heard those, the armor of God, from this high all the way through. Probably did skits when you were this tall, you know, putting it on. Every day, we've got the armor of God that we can put on to help us in our spiritual battle. The enemy may be strong, he may be stubborn, but we've got God on our side. We must choose every day to armor up. That is a choice that you have to make. We have to make every single day. If not, we're playing this little game of how close can I get without getting over and you know, oh, just 1 foot over, it's okay. But if we armor up with God and His Word, the enemy don't have a chance. The enemy don't have a chance. So today, we all have to choose. We all have to choose. Some may need to choose for the first time, accepting the very forgiveness and the love and the hope that comes through Jesus Christ with His death, burial, and resurrection on the cross. And we know that God has the ultimate strength and authority with that when He resurrected from the grave to give us the hope of the future. Some of us need, you might need to do, you may have never made that personal decision to say, I'm tired of playing this game of how close can I get, or, you know, it's not how good can you be. It's about, is Christ in my heart or not? It is, have I asked Christ to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins to be my Lord and my Savior? It don't mean that we don't have these struggles and battles every day, but when we do that, we got the very armor of God to help us.
Yeah.
Every single day. So some may be making that decision of accepting Christ for the first time. Some of us maybe need to make a choice the other day. I'm going to wake up and put on the armor of God to help me in my battle with the enemy. So that's the challenge today. If you've never accepted Christ, today is the day. Today is the day. Because you know what? You never know what tonight or tomorrow may bring. You may never know. It's sad, but here's the true fact of life. In 30 years of student ministry, I've had to be a part of more than one funeral with people that had no idea that tomorrow they wouldn't be here. Don't put off to tomorrow what God is impressing upon you to do today. And then, secondly, I'm going to challenge you to make a commitment to armoring up every day so we can stand together as the body of Christ fighting the enemy that's looking to seek and devour the children of God. Let's pray, and then we're going to have a time to be open. Father, we're so grateful and thankful that you're greater, you're bigger, you're stronger than our enemy. Father, we're grateful that no matter what our past has looked like, no matter how much we maybe scoot over to the line or step over the line, you love us regardless, Father. You love us so much that you desire to have a personal relationship with every single one of us. And you made that possible through Jesus Christ. And Father, we're so grateful that as the followers of Christ, we've got the armor of God to put on every day to walk for you and live for you. I pray, Father, if there's anyone here that needs to make a decision for you, Father, that they'll be bold enough to step up and step out and come and pray. And I pray, Father, as believers, that we'll take our daily life so serious that when we first thing we do when we wake up, I will make a commitment that we want to walk in you and put on your armor. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's stand together.